coming to church house this morning, and God gave me something a little different today. Got into it in the prayer room, kind of run into something there. You ever just walk in and you just walk right in the middle of something? Feel like I've been walked right into the middle of where the Holy Ghost presence was this morning. And we absolutely enjoyed the prayer room this morning. And the discussion that we got to have in there was wonderful. I'd like to ask you if you have your Bibles. Turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter 1. The book of Luke, chapter 1. We realize in these verses that the angel that we're going to read this morning, begin with reading verse number 30, and I'll ask you to stand. But the angel is announcing to Mary, the Virgin Mary, that she is going to have a child. Let's begin in verse 30 of Luke chapter 1. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. This morning, reading these verses and thinking along the lines of what we got into in the prayer room this morning, we spoke a little bit about death and God's ability to raise the dead. I feel like as I stepped away from there and into the Sunday school hour and into my office for a little while, I got to thinking about not just about death, but then I got to thinking about new life and birth. And I'm interested this morning in verse number 36 about Mary's cousin Elizabeth. And she was in an old age. And I'm interested in those last three words of that verse number 36, where she was called barren. This morning we want to think about barren. Lord, as we bow in your presence, we thank you for all that you do for us. We pray, God, you'd help us by your power and the inspiration of your Spirit today to stand and preach to this thy people. Lord, I want to thank you for saving me. And I want to thank you for all that you've given to me, our precious family. Lord, you've given me the opportunity to stand this morning and share the Word of God. And I pray, God, you'd give me the ability to do so. God, you've been so good to us, Father. We can never, ever get it all thanked for what you've done for us and all said for what you've done for us. And Lord, you've just been too wonderful. But God, I ask today, Father, that this might be the day that you speak to a heart that's in need this morning. Someone, Father, that's in a state of bitterness or despair, that God, you would encourage them. I pray, Lord, that there might be someone who's been riding a high horse who's come in this building today and things are wonderful. God, I pray that you would take them to the place, Lord, today that they'd see themselves as they are and they'd humble themselves in your sight. God, I want to thank you for all that you do at the Bethel Baptist Church. God, you've been so good to her. Lord, we thank you for your blessings and we pray that would continue. Lord, we just humble ourselves in your sight. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us today. For God, we know nothing and we have no ability. I thank you, Lord, today that you're willing to work with us in spite of our old flesh. God, we ask your blessings upon the message today. For it is your word to your people we ask and pray for in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning.
Now when I think about these verses, about Elizabeth who was called Mary, and I get to thinking about a lot of these women in the Old Testament scriptures who the Bible says was barren. And I think every one of us begin to point us to some things and some certain facts. And there certainly today there are women, wives, who are heartbroken over the fact that they cannot have children. I looked this study up. 15%, it is estimated that 15% of married couples in this country alone are unable to have children because of fertility problems. And we do see that there are many in the Old Testament that were barren and unable to have children. Yet God somehow blessed that womb which was dead, and they were allowed to have children. And we want to think on these things today. Certainly I do not want to veer away from the Scriptures, for I believe it's a very true point this morning, that you could spiritualize this barrenness to a Christian who has never been able to win a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true that 15% of couples cannot have a physical child, but it also is true that about 90-some-odd percent of Christians who sit in church pews each and every day have never led a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, have never pointed them to Calvary, have never really taken the time to witness effectively. They've never ever been responsible to aid in the faith of someone that got saved. Now understand, you and I can save no one, but we can testify about one named Jesus who is able. And I do not believe I am resting away from the Scriptures to come up with this topic, for I look these verses up, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. In 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul said this. He said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. He said in 1 Timothy, chapter number 1, verse number 2, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith. He said to Titus, mine own son after the common faith. So certainly Apostle Paul was teaching that he had something to do, witnessing, praying, something to do to aid in their faith to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. I ask this church today, sir, ma'am, I'm talking to you. Do you have any sons or daughters in the faith? Is there someone you witnessed to that got saved? Is there someone that you brought to the house of God? Someone that you prayed for? Someone that you had something to do with their salvation? I think about Brother Percy Ray as my mind was thinking this morning. I was thinking about Brother Percy Ray down at Camp Zion in Mississippi. Some 2,500, 4,000, 5,000 people there. People were lined up, probably 50, 75 feet long to get to the pulpit to testify that day. Because the camp is so big, you can't hear them standing in their seats. So they were lined up. And I saw this couple. Oh, they were hugging on each other and weeping profusely. And finally, after waiting for a long time, they made their way to the podium. And this was their words. I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. The lady walked up and she said, Preacher Ray, weeping tears running down her face and down her husband's face, said, we have been unable to have children. I am barren and it's broken our hearts. And we've tried every science, every medical technology to aid in us having children, but we've been unable to have children. And now we're trying to adopt, and we're having difficulty in the adoption process. And preacher, I just felt led for my husband and I, and he did too, for us to come up today and have you to pray that we would be able to adopt a child. We want one so bad. And the husband, he walked up and he tried to say a few words and finally just put his hand up and pushed back from the podium. He couldn't even speak because he was wanting a child so bad. And Brother Ray, that great old-time man of God, looked at him and said, he walked this way, stopped, looked back at him and said, I won't pray that prayer. He wouldn't pray for them. And I like to fail in the blessed floor when he said it. I got to thinking about a lady by the name of Rachel in the old scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures. I sat on the front row while the choir was singing before Sunday school, and the Lord brought this verse to my mind. Rachel said, "Give me children or else I die." That was her statement. I'm interested in these words. Was called barren. And I'd like to go backwards if we can. The word barren, first of all. Now, every Old Testament woman that was unable to have a child counted it a miserable thing to be barren. And the word barren brings the very word to my mind, misery. Oh, the sorrow and the brokenness of heart that I saw from that couple, I'm telling you what, it was something. Let me qualify this statement by saying that we live in a society in the United States of America today where mothers and wives are without natural affection. What do you mean? Well, they are willing to deny their own children and not love them and not raise them properly, those that can have children. Susan Smith took her children down in South Carolina because she loved another man, decided she would strap her children into the car seat and roll them in the middle of the lake to hear their screams of torment as they drown, and her turn her back and walk away in lust after another man while her own children drown. That is not natural. I can take you down to Florida where you've seen all this about this. What was that little girl's name that mother evidently had lived a life of partying and had probably killed her own child because she thought she was handicapping her and hindering her from having a big time, and there was a great search on, and finally they found her out there in the woods, and animals had got a hold of her body and put bones here and arms there and legs there. And that mother, every time she'd get out of jail, she'd live it up and party. And she, I'm telling you, that woman is without natural affection. I can take you back in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, where there were two harlots, and they both had children. They became mothers. The one slept too close to her child and smothered it, and it died. And the other woman took good care of her child. But in the night, the one woman whose child was dead stole the other woman's child away. And then the morning said, "Your son is dead and mine is alive." And an argument ensued. And finally they called the magistrates. And it came all the way before the king. And the king said, "We'll settle this. We'll simply take a sword and we'll divide the child in two. The one part will go to one mother and the other part will go to the other mother." And the mother whose child it really was, she said, "Let her have the child that the child may live." And King Solomon knew whose the real mother was because of her profession of faith. That woman, though she were a harlot, though she were a sinner, yet as a mother was willing to take her case all the way to the highest court of the land, to the king of the land, and was still willing to give up her own child that it might live. Even sinners in Old Testament 1 Kings chapter 3 have more affection for their children than mothers in the United States of America do right now where we live. Now that's a whole other subject, and I don't mean to go there, but I just want to say we live in a day where people are without natural affection. I think we ought to know more about the heartache of these Old Testament women who were barren. My mind comes to think this morning about Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Hannah, and even here in the New Testament, one named Elizabeth. We remember Hannah, don't we? Her husband's name was Elkanah. The Bible says that she was praying and she was very sorrowful in the spirit. She was bitter and wept much, and she poured out her complaint before the Lord. And when the man of God Eli saw her, he thought something was wrong with her. He thought she was drunken. He thought she shouldn't even be in a shape to be in the house of God. She was so miserable. Yet I want you to know she was there because she was weeping that she might be able to have a child. I begin to spiritualize that this morning, and I begin to think, when was the last time that we at the church, we decided, boy, I'd like to be a spiritual father or a spiritual mama and lead somebody to Lord Jesus Christ. When was the last time you jumped up out of your seat being miserable and sorrowful and weeping and broken in spirit, and you crawled up underneath the altar and you just laid there and wept and cried and pleaded, God, would you save my loved one? God, would you save my friend? God, would you save some of my family? Oh, I tell you, we don't do that nowadays. But Hannah stayed right there, and she was praying and seeking the face of God that she might have a child. I begin to think about her misery. You realize that when my wife and I got married, we got married, and within just a few months, almost a year or so after that, her mother began to ask questions to us. Do you know what her mama, Gina's mama, asked us within about a year or so of our marriage? When you gonna have a baby? When y'all gonna have a young'un? Oh, and there began to be pressure applied. When will there be a child? Y'all know the drill. I'm telling you, it went 2 years and on into three. And finally, guess what happened? Well, we was going to have a little baby. We picked out some names for it, you know, all those good things. And then that baby was born, and it's 18 years old Friday. Pray for me. But you see, when my daughter was born 18 years ago on this last Friday, I was about 23 years old, if I remember right, something like that. And when she was born, man, I had her little footprints on my shirt. I went out there and said, everybody, look, she's here. And I got down and played with her. And to tell you the truth, I was out at the hospital with Alex and Celeste, little baby, little Jillian there. And at 42 years old, I was still going goo-goo, ga-ga over that baby. And there's just something about being around a baby that causes us to be happy. I went there to see a lot of people at the hospital, and my wife wouldn't leave the room of Alex and Celeste. She stayed with them because that was a happy place. Place of joy. Glory to God, it was good. I left that place, and I went upstairs and down the hall. And I came down to where Shane's grandpa, Brother Doyle, was. And they just told him he had liver cancer. I went from joy to sadness and sorrow. I went to others' rooms that had pneumonia and just all kind of problems. And I began to think about, the Lord sort of revealed it to me this morning. He said, you need to realize that my church, his, at Bethel Baptist Church, you spend more time praying over the prayer list for the sick and afflicted, and they need prayer. Yes, they do. But you spend more time praying over that than you do about souls being saved. And the Lord said, if I'm not mistaken, I asked Brother Shane, but wasn't Doyle in the ICU department when he got the news that he had that liver cancer or that cancer that he had in ICU? And God spoke to me this morning. He said, your church has turned into an ICU. Where people are dying. Where you're trying with all you can to hang on to those you love. But if you go right back down the hall and get on your knees and start praying, your church can turn into the maternity ward. The labor and delivery department. For the joy of souls being saved. Now, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? Wow, there's a year here, we had 101 saved in a year, and just a little last month, there's 14 or 15 saved, and we know about another one that was saved this last week. Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm asking you, sir, when was the last time you had something to do with someone being saved? When was the last time you crawled up under the altar? When was the last time you began to bring someone to church? When was the last time you went out and witnessed to someone at Walmart or on the street in a parking lot somewhere about the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me tell you what we need. We need new babes in Christ. That's what we need. Well, I was reading online this week about women 40 years old and above that had decided they wanted to put career and making money and possessions were more important to them than having a family. Basically, they decided they would put off having children. And now that they've gotten older, above 40, and some of them even 50, they've wound up with money, a fancy home, a couple of nice cars in the garage, but nobody to call them mama. Nobody to call them daddy. Nobody to say papa or mama. You can't hear the pitter-patter of little feet up and down the hallway in the house. Now, a lot of those women and those men that waited such a long time to have children have decided now that they've missed it. You ought to hear some of them as they cry and weep saying, "We missed out on what God had for us. We thought other things were more important." Let me tell you something. You just say, "Well, we'll put this having children, spiritual children at the house of God off." You'll be sorry one day when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to look you in the eye and say, "You never witnessed. You knew you weren't responsible for one soul being saved. You knew you never prayed for anybody. You just sat at the church." You're going to stand there before God and bow your head in shame and say, "I should have put God first. I should have prayed about having spiritual children. I should have prayed about seeing souls saved. I should have given more. I should have witnessed more. I should have handed out tracts. Boy, I've failed God miserably." And one day when you stand before the Lord, you'll realize it's too late. Well, we get the idea about barrenness, and it's misery. There's another word before the word barren. It's the word called. The word called. It means that someone would affix a title to Elizabeth. She was called. Called. That means that she somehow had this identity attached to her. You might say our word this morning, we thought first of all about misery. I want to mention a mark. Elizabeth was a marked woman. And these Old Testament women, many of them were marked. What about Sarah, who was Abraham's wife? She found out she was going to have a child. She basically laughed about it, didn't she? And I get it thinking about, she is marked with foolishness. She laughed at the promise of God. And for just a minute, I want you to think about this. Abraham told his wife, said, "God said, me and you are going to have a baby." That's what God said. She laughed about it. So they tried and tried and nothing ever happened. So they came up with a plan. She said, "You take my handmaiden, you go into Hagar and you have a child with her." And he did. And a child was born. But it was not the child of faith, but it was a child of the flesh. Guess what she had done? She decided that the plan of God wasn't working like she wanted it to. And in doing so, she came up with an alternate method. Now I want to say this morning, how foolish to come up with an alternate method. Do you know how God chooses to save folks? Through the foolishness of the preaching of the cross of Calvary. Of the Word of God. But nowadays, churches have become barren and children are not being born, spiritually speaking, in the house of God, and they've decided we got to come up with an alternate method. It ain't working like we think it ought to. Let's get us a little praise team and cause a little stir of excitement to get in the house of God. I went with about three of your church members down to Charlotte, North Carolina to revival. There was an all-day meeting the other day. I drove down there and we made it back. I know that they prayed and prayed over riding with me. But we got down there to that church and had 200 in the choir, and glory to God, was it something. And the man of God got up there and he said, "Ain't you glad we ain't just got some little praise team? We got a choir that's singing the joy," and the people broke out into song. I'm telling you what, they had a hallelujah time. Churches nowadays think they got to get a little praise team. Recite the same verse 42 times to try to pump you up and get you excited. Churches today say, "Well, you know what, this old King James Bible ain't working. Let's change versions. Let's try something new. Hey, I tell you what, instead of preaching, let's start having a drama.
let's have some dramatic presentation. Let's turn it into a social club. I got an idea. Instead of singing them old songs that seems dried up and fizzled out, why don't we get us some rock music and get the joint jumping? You see, these churches are coming up with an alternate method. But you know the real problem? They're barren. And children of the flesh not going to work when it comes to the end. Not only is there foolishness, you hear me, but I think about another one named Rachel. When she made that statement to her husband, she said, "You give me children, else I die." The Bible says in Genesis chapter 30, verse 1 or 2, says that he was angered at that statement. And he basically said, "Am I to stand in the stead of God?" In other words, am I God that can decide whether you're going to have a child or not? It's not in my control. And they began to have his anger stirred up. He began to have a fight with her. I got to thinking about that. Not only are these churches that are barren coming up with this foolishness of an alternate method, but there's literally churches tonight that's come up with fighting. You see, Rachel was barren. Her sister Leah, they married the same fella. She was having children left and right, and she got jealous. And now they've done got into a fight. You hear what I'm going to tell you right now? Churches that stop winning souls to Christ, they begin to use up all that energy to start fussing and fighting about other things. They'll start fussing and fighting over the money. Where it is and where it ain't, and how it was used. They'll fuss over the roof. They'll fuss over the carpet. They'll fuss over the Sunday school class. They'll fuss over the singing of the choir or the specials. Who sang and who didn't. They'll fuss about how long the preacher preaches. But you, bless God, find a church that focuses its energy on winning souls, and you'll find a church that loves the Lord and loves one another. One that says, "We ain't got time to fight. We just got time to pray. Let's use our energy on winning the lost to Jesus." A church that's barren, all it wants to do is go around and fight. Let me remind you, the Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Let me say one more thing. There was Hannah. She was barren. And she went down there to the temple of God and began to pray. Now her husband, Elkanah, the Bible says in 1 Samuel that he loved her, but she couldn't have children. And so he went and married another woman that gave him children. Now, I get to thinking about that spiritually, and I really have a problem with that happening. And I look at your eyes, especially some of you women, think, "Bless God, that stirs me up. Just because I can't have a child, he'd run off and find somebody else." But that's what he did. And I got to thinking about that. If this church, you hear me, God told me to tell you, if this church loses her burden for souls, God said, "I'll take my hand off you and I'll find another congregation that will." You may, I say, "I don't like that." I can take you to churches right now and you can't. That was the biggest soul-winning, saving station in Mitchell, Yancey, Avery counties, North Carolina, all over the East Coast. I could take you to big, major churches that majored on soul-winning, and now look at them today, some of them. Dried up and fizzled out because they got tired of winning souls to Christ and thought they were in place of privilege. Look what God's doing with us. And He ain't doing it with nobody else. And they got off track, and God withdrew His hand of blessing on that church, and God went and found Himself another congregation that loved the lost people, and God began to bless them with souls. God told me to tell you, He's got His hand on this church. You can look around and see souls being saved. You've seen wondrous things. But don't you ever think that you're in a place of privilege because of who you are or what's happened here in the past. I can take you over there to the book of 2 Samuel. to a man by the name of King David. He loved the Lord with all his heart, and as they brought the ark back, he got out and began to dance before the ark. I mean it, not listen. He wasn't doing the samba and the conga. No. He was rejoicing in the Lord his God. Dancing and praising the Lord. His wife, Michael or Michelle, ever how you say it, she looked out the window and she saw her husband dancing. And the Bible says she despised him with all her heart. You got to turn there. We can't miss this one. It's in 2 Samuel chapter number 6. You got to see this. And she began to complain against her husband and him wanting to get out and dance before the Lord and rejoice and shout and praise God. You see, her problem was she didn't love the Lord like David did. She didn't love the things that the king loved. And she began to complain about it. I want you to look with me in chapter 6, verse 16. You'll see the ark of the Lord came in the city of David. And Michelle, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Then she came all the way down to verse 20 and started to complain. He gives her answer in verse 21 and verse 22. Look at verse 23. When she didn't love what the king loved, therefore Michelle, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. Why didn't she have any children? Because she didn't love what the king loved. And I promise you, this church will never see another soul saved unless you love what the Lord loves. He came to die for sinners, amen. He came to seek and save those which were lost. And if you don't love lost souls, you ain't going to see them get saved. He loves souls, and if you don't, it'll dry up. You'll be barren. And when you do, you'll be sorry. You'll be miserable. You'll get hungry then. I'm trying to get somebody's attention today. You need to be burdened over lost souls. Well, I'll try to close. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, we read those words, was called barren. I like this thought right here. First of all, barren meaning miserable. The word called meaning she was marked. And I'm certain that there are people that are marked by their fussing and their fighting and their forfeiting away the blessings of Almighty God by the very fact that they go out and they just think that they got some privilege with God and they commit all kind of foolishness and come up with alternate methods and new ideas. Hey, God's not into your new idea. God's into the old past. That's what He wants. Well, there's that word, was. That word, was. That means used to be. She used to be barren. But now something's changed. God began to work a miraculous, there's that word, a miraculous event into the womb of this old woman. He's reminding Mary, for with God, all things are possible. Your cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, is having a child. And don't forget about Sarah. She was about 90 years old. 90! When she laughed at God, she said, at 89, she said, can I have pleasure? Why in the world at 89 years old would I even try to have a child? But you know what? All through her 50s and her 60s and her 70s and her 80s, they kept trying. When it looked like it was useless and a waste of time, they kept trying in faith. Somebody went out knocking on doors. And you said, that don't work. Glory to God, I'm going to tell you what, the devil will try to get you convinced, give it up and quit. Hey, you went out talking to your friends and trying to tell them about the Lord. They rejected you, said, I ain't going to do it no more. It hurt my feelings. Hey, don't quit. Don't give up. Just keep on trying. Preacher, I slid under that altar and prayed before. It didn't happen. Hey, glory to God, they went 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years and kept on trying in faith. And God answered. And God moved. I want to say this, Sister Beth. But I think about Brother Bob and Miss Betty Young. Lord of God, just got saved in the last year or so. both of them. Amen. 83 years old, glory to God, and got saved. Hey, over there underneath the church, when we was over there preaching in the gymnasium while we was working here, we took them white stones, y'all remember, some of you do, and we laid them underneath this altar, saying, God, would you save souls here? There's two specifically that we named. There are others. Hey, the devil, when I was down here praying, said, yeah, you waste your time. They're 70-some and 80 years old. It ain't going to happen. But I got down on my knees, and I just kept on trying and kept on praying. And guess what? God did it. He still saves sinners today. Hallelujah.
Right.
Devil, have you convinced? You give up and quit trying, it can't happen. But the devil's a liar. Hey, I get to thinking about Elizabeth. And she, if God can give her a child in her old age, maybe He can use me. Hey, if He can take the virgin womb of Mary and give a child when she is overshadowed of the Holy Ghost, what can God do in me, with me in my life or in this church? God said, you let the Holy Ghost overshadow this church. You watch who He'll save. And you watch what He'll do. Well, what can God do with a barren womb? Well, with Sarah's womb being barren, God worked a miracle and Isaac was born. He was the promised seed. Hey, Isaac's wife, Rebecca, she was barren, but God worked a miracle. And Jacob was born. He was the progenitor of 12 tribes of Israel. What about Jacob's wife, Rachel? She was barren, but God worked a miracle. And Joseph was born, who turned out to be the provider for all Israel. Hey, there was Manoah's wife. She was barren, but God worked a miracle in her life. And little Samson was born, who was the protector of Israel. What about Elkanah's wife, Hannah? She was barren. Guess what? God worked a miracle in her life. And Samuel was born. He was the prophet of all Israel. Zacharias' wife Elizabeth was barren. Hey, but God worked a miracle in her life. And John the Baptist was born, who's the very preparer for the way of the Lord God. Each and every one of these women have gone through times in their life of misery and weeping and sorrow and bitterness. But guess what? But God worked a miracle in their life and came through and gave them a child. Amen. Hey, if God can work with these barren wombs, what can He do with a barren worker? You, sir, and you, ma'am, have identified yourself as a barren worker. Preacher, I don't know. Hey, what can I do? What can I do? Well, the Bible says Hannah went to the house of God and she prayed. Hey, God heard her prayer and gave her a son. What about the woman, Rebecca? She went and got her husband. And she said, would you pray for me? She didn't just pray for herself. She went and got somebody to pray for her. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis that Isaac entreated the Lord for Rebekah. And God answered and gave her a child. What about Sarah, who kept on trying and trying and trying? God blessed them with a precious child. That couple waited in line. And they came to the podium, shedding tears, miserable in spirit. Preacher, would you pray? We're barren and dry, a womb that is dead. We have no fruit. Preacher, we're trying to adopt one. Would you pray? I won't pray that prayer. I'm going to pray, God, give you one of your own. God don't want you to adopt. God wants you to have one of your own. The man looked, he said, we've tried. He said, keep trying. He bowed his head and began to pray. 1 year later, we was at Camp Zion. I seen a big line for him again, Spirit of God moving. I seen this couple coming through with a baby in their arms, laughing, pointing and playing. And they walked up there and they said, Preacher, do you remember us? We were the couple that was barren and dry. We were the couple that give up on God, and you said if you had prayed that we'd have one of our own. Preacher, this is the result. He just took off shouting and praising God and just shouting out and just lifting up his voice to say, thank you, God, for hearing and answering my prayer. Hear me today. You don't need to adopt no alternate methods. You don't need to start fussing and fighting and forsaking things. You need to not forfeit the blessings of God. You need to get on your face before God and say, Lord, I ain't done near enough Lord, I ain't the Christian that I say I am. The Bible says, this is a promise. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. God still saves old sinners. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Someone come to the piano. Have you ever led a soul to Christ? Have you ever tried? Hey, do you have a burden to see a soul saved? They might be, I don't feel like saying this today. There may be some Christian here, boy, you was on fire for God. He was working in your life in a mighty way. You got into a place of barrenness in your life, a place of no fruitfulness at all. But you've been coming here to Bethel. God's been stirring your soul. Boy, give you hope. God's going to use me in a mighty way. Might be somebody here today say, preacher, I just want to bear fruit for the glory of God. I want to do something wonderful for the Lord. And I'm asking today, would you move upon us? Would you help us this day? I'm asking, would you come? We're going to pray together this morning. You know the need. Oh, preacher, I want fruit for Jesus' sake. Lord Jesus, as we bow in your presence this morning, Lord, we're so thankful, God, that you saw fit to save us. Lord, I'll never forget that young man down there at the house. We're standing in the backyard sharing the gospel, just pretending to have church. God, you saved Keith that day from Alabama. Lord, that shocked me. It blew my mind. But God, ever since that day, I've experienced great joy in seeing souls being saved. And God, we thank you, Father, for the many that you've allowed us to be around and speak to. God, that somehow the power of God fell on them and you saved them. Lord, I praise you for that. But God, I'm not satisfied with the little that we've tried to do. God, I want to see more get saved. Lord, I want to bow before you and thank you that Bethel Baptist Church has been a maternity ward. And I pray, God, it would continue. That we wouldn't just live in a place of privilege. But God, we'd still crawl in under the altar and beg God to save souls and work miracles in lives. Things that only you can do, Lord. God, I pray you'd save sinners today. God, I pray you'd grow the Christian. Help them, God, to bear fruit for your glory. Lord, you know what's needful today. And I pray, God, you'd hear the prayers of these that are saying, oh, Lord, I've not done enough. And some say, Lord, I've never had that opportunity. But by faith, I'm going to go out and start trying. I'm going to try more than I ever had before. God, I pray you'd help them by the power of the Holy Ghost to go forward to witness. God, to stand and speak the words, God, that you give them. And I pray, God, souls would be saved. And there'd be people that invite people back to the house of God. Father, they'd just begin to bring them in, bring them in, bring them in. God, I pray you'd help them to do so. Lord, I don't know much about barrenness. I don't know nothing about the miracle power that you have. But God, I just know in my heart of hearts, Lord, I've not done near enough. And I'm so sorry. I pray, God, you'd forgive me of my slothfulness and my slackness. God, I thought about Preacher Smith. We went to the motel leaving that day to go into the church. And he led 3 people to the Lord as he checked out of the motel to go to church. And Lord, I hang my head in shame. Oh yes, God, we've seen souls saved here. You've done great things. But Brother Percy was able to lead over 2,600 to the Lord in a year. And oh Lord, we've not done anything. God, all glory and honor is due to your name. God, I pray, would you help us be a light and a witness for your glory? For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
little old Shelby had been born there. A few years later, my mother-in-law started asking, "When y'all going to have another?" Pretty soon we found out the wonderful news that we were. It lived a while in the womb. I just want to say this. Elizabeth was a barren woman until her old age. But the Bible says, and you read it with me, that she was called barren. She used to be, but she's not no more, because the Bible says it's the sixth month with her. Brother Ray, that baby wasn't yet out of the womb, but God the Holy Ghost done counted her as she used to be barren, but that baby's alive inside the womb. Hey, where does life begin? I tell you where it begins, at conception. She was no longer barren. Amen. My wife, we lost the child. We cried much. Wept about it a lot. We'd done seen it going off to college and getting married. Had a little room and all that stuff. We never really got to see it. Brought to fruition here. But God gave us the sweet assurance. One of these days when I fired my last shot. I'm absent from this body at present with the Lord. And my children have a brother or a sister. My wife has a young one on the other side. We're going to see again. I'm glad we who were barren, when you win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see them again. I remember people in the church. Some were so good to us and loved us. Where I used to pastor, one man walked up mean-spirited to my wife, and she sat there on a pew and said, "You need to just get over it." If I ever hear tell of any one of you's ever speaking to one another in that direction, I'm going to skin you alive. Can't stand people that just won't love one another and have compassion. We were in Saluda. I'm just full of the Holy Ghost. Just bear with me. But we was in Saluda, North Carolina, preaching down there at a meeting. Our hearts were broken, but we had to preach anyway. And we were just really preaching by faith and in faith. That's the way we usually do it anyhow. But my heart was broken. I had no business heading up that meeting. I needed someone to revive me. There's an old-time man full of the Holy Ghost come up to me and he said, "Preacher, I want to talk to you." He said, "God told me to tell you something and I got to tell it." He said, "I had a vision and I ain't super spiritual, but," he said, "I seen your wife in a rocking chair rocking a little boy back and forth. God said He's going to bless you with a child." He didn't even know our situation. He had no idea what we had went through in our heartbreak. Most of our family didn't even know how we wept. That man said that by the Holy Ghost. And I thought, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Who knows if we'll ever have a child or not? I mean, this could never... But you know what? I just began to get a hold of that and it brought hope to my heart. And just in a little while, she said, "I'm going to have a baby." Just in a little while, it was born. And we was a rocking old loop there in front of a rocking chair. Just like the Lord said. "Preacher, what did God tell you?" "God said, I still got souls I want to save." It ain't too late for your loved ones. It ain't too late for your family members. But I'm going to ask you, don't you just pray about it one time. You pray and pray and pray again until it happens. And it will. I wonder today, as we get ready to go, is there anybody say, "Preacher, I want to unite with the church this morning.